This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum opened today in Cleveland. On this archive edition, we join in the musical celebration with our own oldie show, featuring interviews with Dion, Benny King, Little Anthony, and Ronnie Spector. That's the Ronettes, recorded in 1963. The Ronettes were perhaps the greatest of the 60s girl groups. Ronnie Spector was the lead singer. She married her producer, the pop genius Phil Spector. Later in the 60s, at his insistence, she retired from the music business. After they divorced in the early 70s, Ronnie started to perform and record again. I spoke to Ronnie Spector in 1987. How did you first hear this song? Did the songwriter sing it for you before you performed it the first time?
Well, the first time I heard it, you know, Phil and those were, and Ellie Greenwich and Jeff Barry, we met in a little studio, and they started writing around me, and I guess I was 16 years old and very shy, and I liked Phil at the time, and he liked me. I think they wrote it all around that, you know, our little love affair at the beginning. I think it was all a part of that.
Do you remember the recording session?
Like it was yesterday.
What was it like?
It was incredible, because there I was in California recording, and I'd never left New York. I'd never been out of New York in my whole life. And there I am on a plane going to California by myself without the other two Ronettes, just to do the lead part. And I loved it. I love it till today. I still love it. I mean, it's just a record that I remember that day being in the studio. I remember what color dress I was wearing. I remember everything.
One of the things you do on this record is your famous, I can't even imitate this, but your famous what-uh-oh.
Yes.
How did you come up with that? Was that something you just started singing?
No, it was like Frankie Lyman used to sing, "Why do birds sing so gay? And love is away with break of day. Why do they fall in love?" And so I sort of got it from him, and it was like my own little holes came out. And I think it's just something that I started, and it stuck.
Walking in the Rain, we've heard some of Be My Babies. Walking in the Rain, one of your favorites of the records that you recorded?
Be My Baby is my number one. I love it forever. And Walking in the Rain, I love it too. Yes, I really do.
I love that too. Why don't we hear a few seconds of it, and then we'll talk some
more.
Okay, this is the Ronettes.
I want him, and I need him, and someday, someway, whoa, 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 I'll meet him. He'll be kind of shy, and real good looking too, and I'll be certain he's my guy by the things he'll like to do. Like walking in the rain and wishing on the stars up above and being so in love. Oh, oh, oh.
Oh, Ronnie, that sounds great. That's Ronnie Spector singing along with her record from the 1960s of Walking in the Rain.
I couldn't help it, Terry.
Oh, that's terrific. You know, I'm thinking that the Motown girl groups had charm school and professional choreographers,
yes.
chaperones, all of that. Did you ever want evening gowns? Did you ever want the kind of polish that the groups like the Supremes had?
No, we didn't. We were strictly rock and roll. And I remember my one of my sister's boyfriends at the time, he came over to our house while we were doing our rehearsals at my mom's house, you know. And he said, why don't you guys try to be more classy and act like the Supremes and, you know, stand there and with your aunt. I said, look, we're rock and roll. We got to move. We were singing songs like What I Say, La Bamba, you know, Turn On Your Love Lights. And we were really rock and roll. And rock and roll to me is not just standing there and having a choreographer. It's being real. It's rocking and rolling and not having being so choreographed. I can't have it now.
You formed the Ronettes with two of your cousins when you were all teenagers.
No, a sister and a cousin.
A sister and a cousin. Okay. Now, how did you learn to sing harmonies?
Actually, it was like a bunch of cousins. I had so many first cousins. It was like three other girls besides the two Ronettes. And it was a boy cousin singing lead. And it just sort of narrowed down to one. And I remember the three of us being on the rooftop, like learning routines, because we never had a choreographer or anything. We sort of did what the street dances and stuff, and we just made it three. And I remember being on the rooftop, you know, rehearsing and trying to get our routines together and stuff for the Brooklyn Fox. And what did you say? How did we get together? It was a family, and we had a sort of strict upbringing. So we couldn't go out, and we could look out in the street and watch other girls walk and everything, but we couldn't go out because our grandmother was very strict. So we stayed in the house, and that's how we all just started singing, because out of boredom, and out of all the people in our neighborhood were, like, becoming stars, like Frankie Lyman and stuff. And when I met him, I was in love with him. I didn't even know him, and I was in love with him. I was in love with his voice.
You broke into the music business by being a dancer at the Peppermint Lounge, being a dancer on the Murray the K Show,
right.
singing backup vocals. Did you do things in those early days to help get yourself noticed? Did you either, like, dress in such a way as to call attention to yourself? Okay, what'd you do?
First of all, we tried to. You have to have a gimmick in this business, we figured. And so we wore our hair extra high, you know, the beehives in the 60s. And we wore eyeliner, you know, like Chinese eyes almost. And we wore slits up the side of our dresses because we sang and danced. So we really looked different. And what was the question? I forget. I get so excited.
Oh, about things you did to call attention to yourself when you're trying to break in.
See, when we first, we decided to dress up, and we had a lot of aunts. My mother has like six sisters, and so that's seven of them dressing us, and they told us to put a cigarette in our mouth. And we stood outside the Peppermint Lounge, dressed just alike. And I was so glad, because at 14 I was smoking. They just didn't know it. And it was great, because we stood online, and we had to look older, so we had to exaggerate everything, because all of us were underage.
Now, you know, it always made me think that you were really tough, really streetwise.
No.
Were you? No?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, when we heard about people being junkies or dope addicts, I would ask my mother, well, let me see one, because the way my family would talk about them, it was like it was a disease, because I was very young and I didn't know. So I wasn't a tough streetwise kid at all, but we just did all the dances. And I loved it. From the time I was 3 years old, when my whole family applauded me, I remember the song was Jambalina Cove, Spine of Gilly Gumbo. Cause tonight I'm gonna meet my Machete Mio. Pick a spot filled with Guy Handy Gale. Son of a gun, we're having fun on the bayou. And I think that's when I got my ho 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 ho. And then my family just started applauding me, and I was like 3 years old. And I said, that's what I wanna be the rest of my life. I wanna perform.
You gave up rock and roll for a while when you married Phil Spector.
That's not the right way to put it. I didn't give it up. As a matter of fact, I didn't know when I got married that I would never sing again. I thought, as a matter of fact, I would be recording a little bit more and maybe touring a little less.
So it was kind of against your will that you started.
Yeah, it was something I didn't expect.
Well, during that period, did you sing a lot in the house just to keep your voice in shape?
No, because there was no rock and roll allowed in my house then. It was only classical music played throughout the whole house, and how can I sing the classical music, you know, rock and roll? And I just didn't sing. I just, at night I would go to sleep, I remember, and just turn over and just think about being on stage and singing. occasionally when I was in the bathroom, in the bathtub, I'd sing songs and stuff, but never too loud because he'd get angry.
When you left that marriage and you left mm-hmm. him and you tried to re-enter the music business again, had you lost your bearings for a while? Was it hard for you to find your place? You'd been out of the scene for a while, mm-hmm. and you hadn't even been listening to the music for a while.
Right. No, but I never lost my bearing. It's like, I guess it's like riding a bicycle. Once you, you know, learn, once you fall off, you get right back on. And that's how I was with my singing. Of course, it was much tougher. I remember I came back in 74, and I went to Buddha Records, and they auditioned me. They loved me. And a few weeks later, Phil sent them a letter saying that I was still his wife, because it took me 2 years to get a divorce. And immediately they let me go. So I had a lot against me because of Phil. You know, people just said, well, we don't want to be bothered with him because he was known for suing people and, you know, making scenes and keeping people in court. And that's basically why I didn't get started as fast as I wanted to, you know.
You recently remarried, and I believe your husband is also your manager.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you were ever afraid to get involved with a professional relationship that was also an intimate relationship because of how you had been hurt the first time.
Well,
by combining the two. Like
I tell you, I wouldn't have gotten married to this gentleman if I had known. I made sure, because of my first marriage, I made sure, because he was managing other people in Broadway shows and stuff. So he knew that I loved it, and I knew he loved what he was doing. And I knew that he loved me being on stage. He loved it because I loved it. And I don't think I would have ever gotten married to a man that didn't like my career or didn't have anything to do with it or just didn't want me on stage.
To my knowledge, you're the only one of the Ronettes that is still singing. What are your sister and cousin doing now?
They're both married to the same guys for like 19, 20 years, and they have kids. See, when we were younger as the Ronettes, I always loved it, and they liked it. We were having fun, you know, making all this money, young and having fun, and they liked it a lot until they met the men they were going to marry. And I loved it. See, there's a difference. They liked it, and I loved it.
Ronnie Spector, recorded in 1987. She now lives with her husband in Connecticut. A movie adaptation of her autobiography is in the works. This is Fresh Air.